Thanks, Rob. Man, always good to reload the news, right? That's so great. Such good, thoughtful people that come in studio and people that call in and text. I mean, it's a interesting way to kind of wrap up what's happened in the news. And I like it, too, because it definitely, in this day and age, there's so many stories that come and go without even a thought because of the big overarching stories that are coming out of Washington. And so you really don't get a chance to talk about some of those smaller stories at all and how they affect us here locally or in the Midwest or even in the country because those big stories just dominate. So, hey, we're keeping it alive, keeping hope alive. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to play Never Have I Ever, where we essentially, you tell me what you've never done, and I'll give you a prize. How about that? We got prizes tonight? I'm sure we do. Yeah, pizza. That's all really your confessions are worth. So pizza. But there are people right now going, oh, man, I want that pizza. Already there's been some Never Have I Evers that have come up. You know what? I've got a good one tonight. Never have I ever seen Bachelor in Paradise. Tracy, does that bum you out that I've never seen that show?
I'd like to think that it's going to change starting next week.
Joining me on the line, Tracy Swart. She's the ink columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And she, of course, is our guest every Friday night as we do our show. I'd like just to say hashtag in front of stuff. There's really no hashtag for it. But hashtag reality check. Tracy, good to see you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So this is the week. Next week is the beginning of Bachelor in Paradise. And we've been talking about this show. And I feel like I kind of know what's going to happen, even though I've never seen it.
So basically, it is all the rejects from previous seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette going to Mexico to hook up and fall in love, asterisk, again.
Is this a well-rated show? I mean, is this a highly rated show, Bachelor in Paradise? Does it get the same kind of buzz that a Bachelorette gets, that a Bachelor gets, that kind of thing?
It does, because it's a slot fest. I mean, it's very sloppy. You got to kind of keep track of who's who. They're constantly bringing new people in when the other people fail to find love in the jacuzzi. So it keeps it fresh just with turnover alone.
I believe The Bachelorette is over, right?
Yes.
Because I saw a little bit on Facebook. I was joking with people when they were saying, I can't believe Richie didn't, Johnny. And I was like, don't spoil Game of Thrones. Nobody liked that comment. I was like, why am I commenting on Facebook posts about The Bachelor? So The Bachelorette is over. Who won?
Okay, so she ended up picking Brian. It was 3 hours long, so you saved yourself 3 hours and many think pieces later. She picks Brian, but she seemed to have more chemistry with Peter, as you recall. He used to live in Chicago. He was 2012, one of Time Out Chicago's hottest trainers of 2012.
He made it to the final two?
Yeah, he made it to the final two, and basically he was not ready to propose. You would think after watching this woman date other men for many weeks that he would be willing to get down on one knee, but he wasn't, so she chose Brian instead.
I have so many questions just from that statement. So the show ends, and I'm sorry to all of Download Nation who's like, you know, I like listening to Justin because he knows a lot of topics. This is one topic I know nothing of, and I try to keep up with Tracy. So essentially that factors into whether or not the Bachelorette will pick you, whether or not you're ready to get married or commit to a long-term relationship?
The intent of the show is to get engaged at the end of the show. Rachel is 31, or she was 31 when she filmed this, and she made it very clear to her contestants that she wanted a ring at the end of this. And Peter, while they had great chemistry, was not ready to give her that ring. And that seemed to make her decision pretty easy to go for Brian.
What does that mean? I mean, the show is about, at the end, you have to engage. So doesn't Peter know that? Like, is he essentially saying he doesn't want to play the game anymore?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, he seemed to really enjoy being with her. But, you know, this is a very awkward situation. You have watched the woman that you love or have strong feelings for date so many other men, and there's so much pressure on you to propose at the end. I think he wanted to have a relationship with her post-show, but he just wasn't really ready to take that step to say, let's get engaged, which kind of, to me, just because you get engaged on the show, it doesn't mean that you will get married, you know.
Right, someone needs to tell them it's reality TV.
A lot of times you don't get married, so you could just go through the motions of getting engaged. And several of the past Bachelor and Bachelorettes are still in the relationships from a couple of years ago with the people they chose, but they haven't even tied the knot yet. It doesn't mean that you have to get engaged or get married tomorrow, but they do expect you to sit down with Neil Lane, design a ring, and go through the whole hoopla of it.
But I guess my question is, I'm trying to like pull back the curtain on a show like The Bachelorette. Doesn't Peter know that? I mean, doesn't he? He's a contestant, don't they? When they're not shooting, they're like, all right, did everyone read their waiver? Like, I mean, you could get down on one knee and do the engaged thing, and it's a great ending. You get on the cover of Us Weekly, but you don't have to get married for another year or two.
Unless the good thing is you're runner-up, which means you could possibly be in line to be the next Bachelor.
Oh, and so this guy's a career move.
It could be. I mean, you never know what somebody's motivations are.
Wow. So
it could be him saying, you know, maybe this isn't the girl for me, but I am looking good on the show. I'm going to be the next Bachelor.
God, Tracy, I have so many questions that continue to pop up. I mean, how do the producers of a show like The Bachelor or Bachelorette, how do they handle the fact that their format, their formula, their playbook is exposed because they've done so many seasons that the contestants will manipulate the game for their own selfish interest?
That's what reality TV is all about. You know, they know you're there to be selfish. People go on the show and wear like their company's logos on shirts and hats and stuff. They know that you're trying to game them. A lot of people are not on reality TV to find love. They're out there to promote themselves, promote their products to get on another reality show. So it makes for good TV. There was a lot of chatter about this finale because he did not want to get engaged. So they got what they wanted, which is, you know, a water cooler finale.
Yeah, wow. And he gets a little bit of stock, and we were talking about him, and if they follow the formula, he would be the next Bachelor. Have there been instances where they don't follow the formula, where they say, all right, we don't really like Peter as the next Bachelor, let's just pick someone new?
Yes, they actually, last season, they picked Nick Vile, who was the runner-up for two seasons he was the runner-up, and he was not picked as the Bachelor the following season. And then they gave it some time. He got a redemption storyline on Bachelor in Paradise last year, and then they picked him to be the Bachelor. There's some talk now that Ben Higgins, who was the season 20 Bachelor, could come back to be the next Bachelor because his relationship, the woman he picked on the show, they broke up.
What?
So some people,
come
there
on.
Has been, yeah, there has been in the past where someone has been the Bachelor twice.
Oh, that's crazy. Now I'm intrigued. I'm going to go back to my TiVo, see if I have any of these saved.
Three hours.
Tracy Swartz joins us every Friday night to talk about reality television and really its effect on Chicago and Chicago storylines. You know, we were following Peter because he was once in Chicago, sort of a Chicagoan. The Chicagoans that were on the show, you wrote a great story right at the beginning of the season, Bachelorette, about all the Chicago people, and they were bounced in the first 2 weeks. They turned out to all be duds. Although Pete met them. Did you know that Pete Zimmerman, our Pete, was at Pitchfork, and he met Dizzy and Rizzy, or the two guys.
Iggy and Diggy. And you will see them again next week when Bachelor in Paradise premieres.
Did they get any spoilers?
No. Tight-lipped.
Now, did you really ask?
No. Did Pete recognize them first, or did Pete's wife recognize them first?
Well, good question.
No, my wife recognized him.
I'm sure, Pete. Come on.
Did you? But when they were pointed out, you're like, oh, wow.
Well, at first I thought, like, she's like, oh, my God. And she went up to them and she didn't say who they were. I'm like, that doesn't look like somebody that my wife would hang out with. Why is she talking to these people? And then she asked me to take a picture. And I'm like, oh, I know.
Like,
I get it.
This is Iggy and Biggie. Oh, hey, what's up? You should have said, well, I talk about you guys every Friday night. Tracy, before I let you go, we always do talk about Chicago storylines. Last week we talked about wrapping up Marriage at First Sight, which had Chicago storylines. What else? Is there anything else in the Chicago realm that is happening in reality television this week?
So Bachelor in Paradise starts next week, Iggy and Diggy, watch out for them. And then in 2 weeks from tonight, there is a new reality show that premieres on WeTV. I'm sure that is the number one, you know, channel on your TiVo, mm-hmm. Justin.
Yeah,
it is called Love Blows, and it's based on a Chicago matchmaker. It's like 6 episodes long, and it's executive produced by the woman who does the Millionaire Matchmaker series, Patty Stanger. And it is another show that examines how desperate Chicago singles are.
Yeah, you have a bone to pick with that. They're setting it. They're developing a reputation for this town and our singles. The last thing I say is, last week we talked to you on Friday at Lollapalooza. You know, so how did the weekend go? More importantly, and I guess the only question I'm really interested in is how many people got arrested, and how many people were sick after that festival.
So there was 27 arrests, which was more than double the number of arrests from last year. And I don't know why people do this, but most of the arrests are for fence jumping. I know that there are a couple people every year who get through this way, but more often than not, you don't get through, and they will see you, and they will arrest you or cite you. So that's been a big problem. And then this year, there were 234 people sent to local hospitals, which was down from last year, which was surprising because this year they introduced a roller rink, and that looked like it was going to be a disaster for some people.
You know, it's so funny. After I talked to you on Friday, I went Saturday, and the entrance that we got in on led us right to that Perry stage you were talking about, the EDM stage.
Right.
And I was told by everybody, because I was bringing my 10-year-old, like, just whatever you do, just stay away from that stage, you'll be fine. So it was funny that it launched us right into that stage, and that's right next to the roller rink. And oh my, you were right. That is a creep show. And I'd never seen anything like it. That the bunch of 17-year-olds who were wearing not enough clothing that were already at the point of no return, mentally and physically. It was an eye opener, but I'm glad that when I saw it, I said, oh, Tracy was talking about this stage.
Yes, it was crazy. I mean, I spend some time there, but it gets to be too much. You're stepping over throw up. Like, it's like too much.
Yeah.
But I was lucky also to be the self-appointed reporter to follow Rahm Emanuel around, the festival. So I was far away from the Perry stage because he was nowhere near the Perry stage.
What was his favorite show?
I don't know what his favorite show was, but I definitely watched him rocking out to a couple of acts, and I got him doing some head bobbing to Jacob Banks, who is this British singer-songwriter who was out there. It was very odd because I spotted him with Rumor Willis, who is Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's kid. You know, if you're thinking about who would Rahm Emanuel hang out with at Lollapalooza, maybe that's not your first thought.
Tracy Swartz is the ink columnist for Chicago Tribune. She joins us every Friday to talk about reality television and a little bit of Lollapalooza. Tracy, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.